If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-Arab, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We're going to talk about banking in this episode and the upcoming episodes, hopefully, or inshallah, according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei. But before we start our program, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
So,
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh, and welcome to the program.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. The topic that we're going to focus in this episode and the episodes to come, inshallah, will be, banking and all about financial matters. Let me ask you with this question, Sheikh Javid, is it necessary, is it incumbent on a person who borrows money from the banks? And we know today this is something like an epidemic in today's society, in modern life. You can't find anyone without any borrowing from any banks today.
You can't help it.
Yeah, you can't help it. And so we are talking about, and we are focusing on those people who borrow monies from the banks, right? Any sums of money from the banks. Is it necessary for them? Is it obligatory for these people, basically the borrowers, the money borrowers, to ask the permission of authorized religious authorities or any one of their agents, right?
Yes.
Especially when the bank, for example, demands or asks for a payment of anything extra like a riba, right?
Yes.
So is it permissible to borrow without any pressing need also?
Well, that's a very good question. I would like to say that generally speaking, borrowing money does not require the permission of an authorized religious authority or a qualified jurist. Even if the money is borrowed from a state bank, so the loan contract per se is valid, even if it is based on what we call riba or usury. Mm-hmm. We know that riba is absolutely haram and it is forbidden under mm-hmm. all circumstances.
Right.
We cannot sign a contract on riba or based on riba. However, if a contract is signed, the contract is valid. And Supreme Leader Grand Ayatollah Khamenei says that if the loan is a riba-based loan, of course, he says that as a matter of religious duty, it is haram to embark on such contracts, irrespective of whether you get it from a Muslim or a non-Muslim, or whether you get it from an Islamic state or a non-Islamic state. It doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, let me add to it. Let me add one thing, and that is, of course, we can. If you are getting a loan from a non-Muslim bank, of course, there is no objection to a Muslim stipulating or placing a condition in the contract,
mm-hmm.
placing a condition for a surcharge or for an additional amount, because it's permissible. It's always permissible to receive, interest from non-Muslims. So let me also conclude that whether it is permissible or not to get the permission of a religious mujtahid, of course, as I mentioned, and it's not necessary to obtain the permission of a religious authority or a jurist, and of course if a religious authority, let's say, gives a permission, it doesn't mean that the haram borrowing mm-hmm. of money can become halal,
yes.
simply because the mujtahid has permitted or has authorized. And of course, indeed, there is no case for permitting it. And the religious authority, no religious authority, no mujtahid, in fact, allows a riba-based contract. And of course, we can say that the permissibility of a riba-free loan, of course, we know that there are two kinds of loans. One is riba-free or the other is, interest-based or mm-hmm. usury-based. So
yes.
When it comes to the riba-free loan, there is no need for any mujtahid, and one does not have, and the contract of riba does not hinge on the permission or permission of a religious authority, and it's not does not, there's no need for any permission whatsoever.
Mm-hmm, I see. Okay, thank you very much. Let's take a short break and we'll be back. Don't go away.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on RIB English Radio, with me, Muhammad Jad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are still talking about banking and financial matters according to the fatwas issued by Ayatollah Khamenei with Sheikh Javid. Well, Sheikh Javid, you talked about usury and riba, which is obviously haram according to the Islamic teachings and Sharia. But there is a little interest that the banks, ask you actually to pay after you borrow some money or loans from the banks, right?
Yes.
And the reason or the justification for that extra amount, the demand, is that they need to pay their own bank clerks and staff or personnel.
Yes.
What about that? Is that considered a kind of usury?
Well, the money received by the banks can be part of an agreement signed between the bank and the recipient,
mm-hmm.
and there might be a halal contract,
right,
due to which the money received by the bank can become halal. For example, there are different forms of contract, like a silent partnership or partnership, which is called musharaka, and the
mm-hmm.
first one is called mudaraba, and then there is also another contract which is called ju'ala. So ju'ala is a kind of contract in which you give money to someone to do something for you. Now, if the additional amount or if the extra amount is received by the bank, or maybe by the depositor, whoever the depositor is,
mm-hmm.
as part of this contract, there is no problem in it, and there is no harm in these kind of transactions.
What about the extra amount paid in addition to the original amount that you have to return to the bank after you borrow?
And that's what I said. You know, if the
talking about the partnership, whether it is silent or else.
Yes.
You know, I'm talking about the loans that you borrow, but you still need to pay a little extra amount in addition to the original amount.
You're right. Of course, if there's no such contract or those partnership or something like that, then if it is called a kind of loan based on interest,
mm-hmm.
then this transaction is haram, and it's not permissible for the bank to receive the additional amount, no matter what the excuse, okay? Because it's riba, and riba is forbidden under all circumstances. However, if for example, there is no such condition placed, there is no such stipulation for interest, and the client, let's say that the person who receives money, gives some extra amount with his own consent, without the bank requiring him to give,
mm-hmm.
there is no problem, because it's a kind of compensation for the devaluation or depreciation of the money,
right,
paid to him by the bank.
But it shouldn't be stipulated
in their first
contract.
Yeah, of course, it shouldn't be stipulated.
Uh-huh, I see. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid. Thank you for listening to the program Islamic Laws on RAB English Radio. From me and the rest of the crew, we say wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم ملجا لا إله إلا هو الغفار الجميل.
لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي المميت الظاهر والباطن على